from the bookshelf of the world. The Armed Forces Radio Service presents the first of three episodes in a dramatization of Robert Louis Stevenson's great story of David Balfour, Kidnapped, another in a series of celebrated adventures from the bookshelf of the world.
The story of my adventures really begins with a certain morning early in June, the year of grace 1751, 2 days after I'd taken the key for the last time out of the door of my father's house. I was 17 and alone in the world. Father's letter in my pocket was all the fortune he'd left me. And as I breasted a hill and came out on the Edinburgh Road, I knew I was nearing the great mansion to which it was addressed, the House of Shaws. Father had written on the outside,
"To the hands of Ebenezer Balfour, Esquire of Shaws, in his House of Shaws, these will be delivered by my son, David Balfour."
Ebenezer's name was new to me, and yet it sounded like a great name. And Balfour was our name. We'd always been poor country folk, and now the pride of life filled my brain at the thought of the fine future before me.
Good day to you. Do you know the House of Shaws?
Aye. What for?
It's a great house.
Doubtless. 'Tis a big house.
Aye. And the folks that are in it.
Folk? Are you daft? There's nae folk there to call folk.
What? Not Mr. Ebenezer?
Oh, aye. There's the laird, if it's him you're wanting. What'll be your business money?
I was led to think I'd get a situation.
What? Well, money, it's none of my affairs. But if you'll take a word from me, you'll keep clear of the Shaws. Hup!
I cannot describe the blow this man dealt to my illusions. I made other inquiries. They all met with accusations against the Laird of Shaws. Indistinct ones, to be sure, but leaving the wider field to my fancy. The twilight was deepening as I put my usual question to a sour-looking woman. She pointed a bony finger down the hill to what looked like a bulky ruin standing very bare on a green.
That is the House of Shaws. Blood built it. Blood stopped the building of it. Blood shall bring it doom. See here. I spit upon the ground. Black be its fall. If ye see the laird, tell him this makes the 1219 time Janet Clouston has called down the curse on him and his house, buyer and stable, man, guest and master, wife, miss or bairn. Black, black be their fall.
Mr. Balfour? Mr. Balfour? Mr. Balfour!
This blunderbush is loaded.
I've come with a letter for Mr. Ebenezer Balfour of Shaws.
We'll put it on the doorstep and be off of you.
I'll do no such thing. It's a letter of introduction to your master.
Who are you?
I'm not ashamed of my name. They call me David Balfour.
Balfour? Is your father dead? Aye, he'll be dead. I'll let you in. Go into the kitchen, and mind you, touch nothing. Let's see the letter.
The letter is for Mr. Ebenezer Balfour, not for you.
Oh, and who do you think I am? Give me Alexander's letter, Davy, my man. For little as you seem to like either me or my house, I'm your born uncle.
You? My uncle?
Aye. You ken what's in this letter?
As you see, the seal was not broken.
Aye. Your father's been lying dead?
3 weeks, sir.
He was a secret man, was Alexander. He never said much about me.
I never knew till you told me yourself that he had any brother.
Oh, dear me, dear me. Nor yet of Shaw's, I dare say.
Not so much as the name, sir.
I'm just as glad I let you in. We'll agree fine yet. And now, come away to your bed.
Very well, Uncle. May I not have a light, Uncle? I can't see a thing.
Lights in a house I did not agree with. I'm feared of fires. You'll find your bed straight before your nose, and you'll sleep very well. You're a braw, lad. Aye, you'll sleep very well.
I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Most of the next day, my uncle spent smoking thoughtfully, occasionally questioning me.
And you'll have some friends, Nedu?
Many friends.
And who will they be?
Different gentlemen of the Campbell clan.
Davy, my man, you've come to the right place. I mean to do right by you. But while I'm thinking what's the best career to find for you, I wouldn't like the Balfours to be humbled before any Elan Campbell. And I'll ask you to keep your tongue within your teeth.
What do you mean?
No letters, no messages, no kind of word to anybody, or else there's my door.
Uncle Ebenezer, it was by no will of mine that I came seeking you. And if you show me your door again, I'll take you at your word.
I cannot find a fortune for you at the bottom of a parish bowl. But just give me a day or two and say not a word to anybody, and as sure I'll do the right by you.
Very well, I'll stay.
We'll agree fine yet.
Do you know a woman called Janet Clouston?
Janet Clouston?
She gave me a message for you. I'm to say she's cursed this house 1,219 times.
Oh, God, Davy. I'll have her roasted on red peat before I'm through here. 1,219. Aye, that's ever a day since I had her sold up.
You sold her up?
A witch, aye, a proclaimed witch. I'm off and see the session clerk. I'll have her arrested, I tell you. But I cannot leave you by yourself in the house. I'll have to lock you out.
If you lock me out, it'll be the last you see of me in friendship.
This is no way to win my favor, David.
Sir, I was brought up to have a good conceit of myself. If you were all the family I had in the world 10 times over, I wouldn't buy your liking at such prices.
I'll not go. That's all that's to be said about it.
Throughout the day, there was hardly a minute I did not feel my uncle's gaze on me. But there was no explanation that I could see. One strange thing I found. An inscription in my father's hand on the flyleaf of a book.
To my brother Ebenezer on his 5th birthday.
Now, this was odd. Ebenezer had inherited Shaw's, so he must have been the eldest brother. But this inscription seems to mean that my father could write before he was 5 years old. I tried to get this notion out of my head, but it stuck to me. Finally, that night, I asked my uncle if father had not been very quick at his books.
Alexander? Not him. I was far quicker myself. I was a clever chappie when I was young.
But could he not read rather early?
Read? I could read as soon as he could.
Oh, then, were you and my father twins?
Twins? What makes you ask that? Come on, tell me, what makes you ask that?
What do you mean? And take your hand lad. From my jacket. That's no way to behave.
Dad, man, Davy. You should not speak to me about your father. That's where the mistake is. He was all the brother I ever had. Davy, I've been thinking. There's a wee bit of money that I have promised you before you were born. Promised it to your father. Nothing legal, you understand. But I keep it, that bit of money, separate. It was a great expense. But a promise is a promise. And it has grown by now to be a matter of just precisely, just exactly 40 pounds.
40 pounds?
Aye, by the bitty, and I'll get it, yeah. I got it out this morning and I put it in a wee bag for safekeeping.
Oh, I don't know what to say.
Ah, there. That'll show you. I'm a queer man, Davy, and strange with strangers. But my word is my bond, and there's the proof of it.
Uncle, this is most generous.
Fancy here now. Tit for tat.
Why, of course, I'm ready to prove my gratitude in any responsible degree.
I'm growing old and a little broken, Davy, my man. And I'll expect you to help me with the house and the bit of garden.
I'm ready to do so to the best of my ability.
Well, let's begin. There is the key of the tower at the far...
My uncle tried to murder me. The stairs are grand. 40-foot drop in the dark. That I should leave you. Why do you dislike it to be hinted that you and my father... There was no doubt I carried my life in my hand. But like most...
A bit of fun.
Fun?
I'll with the uncabin boy. I could see the captain. And we could jog on to the lawyer he mentions there, Mr. Rankler. You'd be unwilling to believe my naked word. But you'll believe Rankler. He's agent to half the gentry in these parts. He knew your father.
My father, you say?
Aye.
Very well. Come, Uncle. We'll all three go down to the Queen's Bed. Uncle, you walk ahead.
What? Davy,
ahead, please, where I can see ye.
Will.
Lord, Lummy, you start to give orders like he's the Alcy himself. He minds for nothing and no one in heaven or earth. He'll crack on all sail into the day of judgment, he will. Yes, the skipper's a manly man. He'll kill you as soon as look at you. Only he ain't no seaman. Yes, it's Mr. Shaw navigates the brig. He's the finest seaman in the trade, only for drink. Why, look at this wound on my leg. Yeah, look.
What? Do you take such savage usage at his hands? You're no slave to be so handled.
No, and so he'll find. You see this knife? Let me see him try. I'll do for him. Oh, he won't be the first I've done for.
In heaven's name, can you find no reputable life on shore?
Yeah, there's worse off than me. There's the 20-pounders. You should see them taken on as soon as we've cleared the river, and they have their drug out of their heads.
20-pounders?
Then we takes to the Carolinas.
Oh, you mean the criminals sent to be sold as slaves in North America?
Yes, criminals. In them what are just trepanned, because someone wants them out of the way.
Trepanned?
Yes, trepanned. Kidnapped.
Real, Davy, my man. Here is the tavern where the captain awaits me. And yonder ship is the Covenant. If I'm not mistaken, they're busking her for sea. Aye, those men aloft are making the sails ready. And she's taking on stores, too. So come along, Davy, my lad. We got to meet Captain Hoseas.
Come in. Mr. Balfour.
Aye.
Proud to see you, sir, and glad that you're here on time.
Glad to see you, Hazen.
Thank you, sir.
Davy, my lad, will you just run outside and play yourself a while, my lad?
Now, I'd never seen the sea and was anxious for a nearer look. So away I went, leaving the two men sitting down to bottles and a great mass of papers. As I passed through the taproom, I asked the innkeeper if he knew Mr. Rankler, the lawyer.
Rankler, hoot aye, a very honest man. By the by, was it you that came in with Ebenezer?
Aye.
You'll be no kin of his?
Why, no, none, of course not.
I thought not. Yet you have a kind of look like his brother Alexander.
It seems that Ebenezer is ill seen in this country?
Nay, hoot. He's a wicked old man, and there's many would like to see him squirming in a rope. Janet Clouston and many mad that he's harried out of house and hame. Yet he was once a fine young fellow too. But that was before the report went abroad. Oh, years ago now, when Mr. Alexander disappeared. That was like the death of him.
What report was that?
Oh, just that he'd killed him. Did you never hear that?
And what would they kill him for?
Oh, what for? But just to get the place.
The place? The Shaws?
Nay, other place that I ken.
Was Alexander the eldest son then?
Dead, was he? What else would he have killed him for?
No, my father, as I well knew, had been alive only 3 weeks ago. So the rumor against Ebenezer could not have been true. But knowing now that I, and not my uncle, was the true heir, that I, not he, was the real owner of the House of Shaws in its broad lands, I walked out of the inn, half stunned with my good fortune. 1,000 pleasant things were crowding my mind as I walked by the shore. I was examining a piece of seaweed when I heard my uncle call me. As I approached, Captain Hoseason walked towards me.
Well, sir, Master Balfour tells me great things of you. And for my own part, I like your looks. Tell you what, lad. You shall come on board my brig for half an hour till the ebb sets and drink a bowl with me.
Oh, unfortunately, sir, my uncle and I have an appointment with a lawyer.
Aye, he passed me the word of that. But you see, the boat will set you ashore at the Toon Pier, and that's but a penny stone cast from Rankillor's house.
Whist! Keep an eye on the old toad. He means mischief.
Huh?
Aye, come aboard till I can get a word with you.
Come, lad. What can I bring you from the Carolinas? Only friend of Master Balfour's can command. Well, lad, you'll get your sea legs soon. And your uncle will come on board directly. Come, I'll take you forward and show you our figurehead. Can you now see to the top of this mainmast of ours? It was the main yard there that hoisted your board. The two of them do a grand job for us when the wind's fair. Now, here is...
Captain, where's my uncle?
Aye, that's the point.
What? Help! Help! Uncle! Anybody! Help! I'm kidnapped! Help! Arms bound. Where? I remember. Kidnapped. My own uncle. Curse him. Must be blowing gale. Sour smell. Pain. So dark.
Well, boy, have you had any meat?
Couldn't. No.
Let me dress your wound again. Now, Captain. A high fever. No appetite, no light, no meat. You see for yourself what that means.
I am no conjurer, Mr. Ryuk.
I want that boy taken out of this hole and put in the forecastle.
What you want, sir, is a matter of concern to nobody but yourself. But I can tell you that which is to be. Here he is, here he shall stay.
Admitting that you've been paid in a proportion, Captain, I will crave leave humbly to say that I have not paid I am and none too much to be the second officer of this old tub, but I was paid for nothing more.
If you could hold back your hand from the tin pannikin,
mm-hmm,
I would have no complaint to make of you.
Aye.
And instead of asking riddles, I make bold to say that you should keep your breath to cool your porridge. We'll be required on deck.
Hold. Admitting that you've been paid to do a murder.
What's that? What kind of talk is that, Mr. Ryuk?
Seems it is the talk you can understand.
Mr. Ryuk, I've sailed with you 3 cruises. In all that time, sir, you should have learned to know me. I'm a stiff man and a dour man. But what you say, the new fie. It comes from a bad heart and a black conscience. If you say the lad will die...
Aye, he will that.
Well, then, take him where you please.
Well, the old man gave in to me for once. Steady now while I cut your bonds. That's better. Steady again while I lift you. You'll be a sight more comfortable in the forecastle.
I lost my senses again, but I opened my eyes on blessed daylight and saw men sitting round the forecastle on their berths. Here I lay for many days. I saw much of the cabin boy, he who'd really got me into all this. He gave me a cruel reminder of his tales of the 20-pounders by revealing that I was to be sold into slavery by order of my wicked uncle. Daily he brought me news from the roundhouse where he slept and served. Sometimes he nursed a wound or bruise in silent agony. Sometimes he raved against the brutality of the chief mate, Mr. Schoen. I'd never seen this terrifying man, but one day in the forecastle.
Schoen's done for him at last.
Who?
The cabin boy, of course.
I knew it'd come to this.
Tis murder the sort.
I wished the captain to lie.
Davy, my man, we want you to serve in the roundhouse. You're to take the cabin boy's place. Run away after you.
Oh, who are they carrying? The cabin boy?
Run away aft, lad. Run away aft, will you?
Oh, no. No. He's dead.
From the bookshelf of the world, you have just heard the first episode in The Adventures of David Balfour from Kidnapped by Robert Louis Stevenson. Stevenson had no use for the writers of realistic fiction. They give us, says he, a picture of life insofar as it consists of mud and old iron, cheap desires and cheap fears. To Stevenson, man's true life, that for which he consents to live, lies altogether in the field of fancy. And to understand this philosophy, the listener must know that Stevenson spent the greater portion of his life in bed, suffering from an incurable sickness. But his strong imagination and active mind carried him through a life of bold and vigorous action, which he wrote down for everyone to enjoy. So listen with us again when the United States Armed Forces Radio Service brings you episode number 2 of Kidnapped from the Bookshelf of the World.